Sefer HaTiferes is the Maral wrote, as people know, the Maral wrote on various Yomim Tovim. Okay, the only Yom Tov that he did not write on anything is specifically Sukkos. Debatable if he didn't lose or got lost. He did not write on Sukkos. So the Sefer HaTiferes is the Sefer on the Pasuk. What's Tiferes? Is the on Talmud Torah. It's on Matan Torah. So says here, anybody who wants it, who has like the thing we're going to read together, will be Oysis Rabbi Akiva. Oysis Rabbi Akiva is a medrash of the letters of Rabbi Akiva. Is one of those cryptic midrashim which can only be understood in light of what we call Soid, meaning this is one of the Kabbalistic ideas. Now, Oysis Rabbi Akiva, just an introduction. One of the tenets of Jewish thought is that words are not primary. In other words, Sefer Yetzirah, which is the book of creation, which is attributed to Avraham Avinu, starts with the concept, and that's a basic concept, that words are not primary. Letters are primary. And we're going to learn today about the concept of the letters being vessels of the transmission of the energy of the flow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, see, Rav Utner had a problem. People who read whole words in English, you read whole words, apple, chair. So they wanted to apply this in Hebrew, kiseh, safsal, shulchan, to read in Hebrew as whole words. And Rav Utner was very against it, because words are not primary. The letters are primary. So therefore, aleph, o, o. Oren is aleph, o, o, reish, or, in other words, is the combination of letters. Every letter has a meaning, and we're going to see the letters are the vessels of how the godly energy flows into this world, comes through letters. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva wrote a medrash explaining the letters, what the letters meant. These 22 letters, how the Torah was given to us, they were engraved in the crown of Hashem. And when Hashem wanted to create the world, the letters came in front of Hashem. Each one said, I want to be the one used to create the world. The first letter to come in is, this is called LIFO, last in, first out. The tough comes first. You should go ahead and use the letter tough to create the world, because you're going to give the Torah with the letter tough. Shenemar Torah Tzivalan Moshe. Yeshiva Kadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lav mipni shani atir laso becharosh ha-mitzchot ha-nashim. I can't use you, because you are going to be the signs on the people. You know that the people who are supposed to die, the Pasuk says, v'itvita tav. You should do a tav as a sign of life or death. Now I'm going to just ask you a question. Why is the tav used by the Navi as a sign of life or death, of who's supposed to live, who's supposed to die? So Chazal say, because tav, tichi tav tomus, because the letter tav starts. But the truth is, there is even a deeper reason, and Chazal alluding. Because you realize that the Hebrew language, the Hebrew script changed. Right? You know that there was a switch of the Hebrew script. Does anybody know what's the early Hebrew script called? It's called Ksav Ivri. Ksav Libuno. And our Ksav is called Ksav Ashuri. Machlok is the more we need to learn about it. When and why did it change? Now, what's unique about Ksav Ivri? It's a pictograph. You know what's a pictograph? It's a visual, ksav. Which means the letter, the way how you write it, it's explaining what it's supposed to be. As an example, the word base, it's a house. Because base is a house. Aleph is a shore, because a shore is olive. Gimel is a camel, right? Mem is a mayim. The word tav, what does the word tav mean in Hebrew? Tav means a sign. So the word the tav in Ksaviv is an X. Exactly like a bullseye. That's why the people who are supposed to die or leave, you put an X. That's why it's a tav. Right? So that's it. So that's why the word tav is, you should know that in Hebrew, in the early script, in something called Ksaviv, it was an X. So it makes sense. So the Torah tells you, so the Medrash says that Hashem told the tav, I can't use you to create the world. Because you are going to be used as a sign of life or death. And this world is supposed to be a flow of life, not life or death. So I can't use you. Miyad yatza tav lefanav v'fachin nefesh. The tav left very, very upset. V'achakach nichna shin, then came the shin, v'chen kol ot v'ot. V'achrei kulam nichnas beit. So he went backwards. And then the final letter was the base. V'omar lefanav ribono sholam ritzon chashri v'ra b'olam shibyomrim baruch Hashem yom yom. The word, the base, is the word Baruch. Blessing starts with the base. Heshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hen Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. That's good. The base starts the word Baruch. You should come. Miad Kibel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch HaOilam B'Beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the base because of the word Baruch, and he created the world of the base. Shenemar, Bereish is Baruch. Ve'alef Kivan Sherakus Bo. But the Aleph now feels bad. One second. He didn't get to my line. When I was supposed to be the first, he didn't give me a chance. Kibel Divro Oilam. So the Aleph stayed on the side and was quiet. So he asked the Aleph, why are you quiet? So he says, so the Aleph, why are you staying quiet? Okay, the base got it. Why the Aleph? Because the truth is, I don't have the strength. I don't have any time enough to create the world but me. Because all the letters have a numerical value which is big. I'm very little. Two is three, base is two. I'm one. So I don't have a kinda. In other words, I'm on the side because really I don't have any claim to create the world of me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Dalf, don't worry. You are first above everybody else. You are one, and I'm one. And the Torah is also one. I'm going to use you to give the Torah. Okay? That's the Medrash of Oseh Rebbe Akiva, which is something that appears to be like a children's game. Right? Okay, the Tav and the base, the word Baruch starts, and the Aleph got upset. What does that mean? There's another medrash. Lama bebeis. Why is the base used? Sheul lashon bracha. Because the word brocha starts with a base. Velo bealeph. But the Aleph was not used. Sheul lashon arur. Because it's used, the word cursed in Hebrew starts with an Aleph, which is arur. Says the Maral, this matters is teaching you a great foundation. And we're going to see that this is the foundation of what's called Kabbalistic thought. The world had to be created with a base, not by chance. What's unique about the base is the beginning of diversity, the multiplicity. Why? Because one is unity. And base is the beginning of diversity. It becomes more than one. Shari Aleph ain bo ribui. The Aleph has no ribui. Ve'ilu ha-beit hu atchalat ribui. And what's unique about the base is the beginning of diversity, the beginning of multiplicity. Ve'hu brocha. And that is brocha. That's going to say. U'lefichach milas borech. Look at what's unique about the word borech in Hebrew. Kula mutiyot ha-shniyot is the number two. In every level, Barech is 222. Because the number 2, base, is the 2 in units. Reish is the 2 in hundreds. And the Chof is the 2 in tens. Because Borech means the beginning of Ribui. Shem Loshon Brocha, HaBeis B'Chodim, HaKaf B'Sariot, V'Arish B'Meot. Shemin HaSheni HaTchol HaSari B'Shu Brocha. Because the beginning of the verse starts, Shem Brocha. So what is Brocha? Brocha, the word brocha doesn't mean blessed in Hebrew. Brocha means
flow,
growth. It's the, when you go ahead and you graft an ilan, if you take a tree and you do something called layering. Layering of a tree is you take a tree, you take a branch, or you take a leaf, and you stick it in the ground to grow from this another tree. That's called layering in English. Layering in Hebrew is called havrachat ilan. It's bracha, because you're taking from one tree, making from one more. Brecha, when you take water, and you create a water that flows, like that you have some kind of a central depository of water, and it flows out, it's called brechat avayim. The word brocha means the beginning of growth, multiplicity, diversity. And that's why the word borech is unique, because it represents that. It's number two in units, which means in single digits, in tens and in hundreds.
That's assuming that you're using the base of 10. Did they have the base of 10 all the way back?
Now, excellent question. Sefer Yetzir, we are going to see. The base of 10 is a foundation in Jewish thought. We are going to go, because we are going to learn numerology. Because I'm going to explain to you why numbers and letters, this duality. But you should know that numerology in Kabbalistic thought is the foundation of the world. And by the way, you see that, right? Because the Torah, we have a Sorah Mamorah, the 10 utterances the world was created. And then you have the Aseres HaDibros, the Aser Makis, and the Mishnah in Ovis. And that's, if you want to know, this is what's called Mishnah HaRishoina. And Mishnah HaRishoina, I'm going to just parenthetically, I don't want to digress too much. But if you realize, there is a theory. It's called the theory of the Quellos. In other words, the Quellos says like this, that if you have two books originated by two authors, and they have a lot of stuff in common, they must be taking it from a original work. And they are reworking that work. That original work is called the Quellos. Lehavdil, this is the theory that's used to explain the Gospels. Right? We have four Gospels in Christian theology. The four Gospels tell you a story of Jesus, which is different, but there is a commonality between them. How is it possible the four guys would say the same story differently, which is expected, but some stuff is the same, because it must be that they're reworking an original text. Lehavdil, David Tzvi Hoffman does that on Pirkei Avos. Because Pirkei Avos, we have our Avos, we have Avos Reb Noson. Avos Reb Noson is the Tosefta. And it's interesting that if you compare the two, there is a commonality. The first perek is almost all the same, which is the chain of transmission. The second perek, the chain of transmission in the Tosefta, they share something in common. So it goes the chain of transmission all the way from Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, all the way till the five Talmidim, Rabbi Elazar Bishua. But interestingly enough, what is also common is the fifth perek, which is Basora Mamores Divra Hoyim. And you say, it's like, what does it have to do with Pirkei Avos? And that's the original Pirkei Avos. I told you, the Rebbe worked it out and added stuff. Rabbi Noson added stuff. And the original Pirkei Avos is the Shalsheles HaTorah and the Asorah. And the idea is because the Asorah, as we're going to see, is foundational to Jewish thought. The decimal system is the basis of how we understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. But today we're going to see something else. That the decimal system is founded, is predicated upon a binary system. And the beginning, it all flows from a binary system. That's the base, which is the world of diversity, which is this concept of duality. We're going to soon see. Okay? So says the moral, the word base, which goes in units, tens, and hundreds, because it's assuming, and you're right, it has a presumption of a decimal system, which we're going to see, tells you that this is the beginning of diversity. So the word borech means brocha, means that you take from one and you create diversity. And says the Maral, continues. The Oru at cholosu be'alef. So why does Oru start with an aleph? Not by happenstance. Ki aleph hu echad, because what's aleph? One. And what's Oru? Oru, cursed, is somebody who is devoid of brocha. Brocha is diversity, which starts with two. So what's devoid of brocha is the aleph. So the aleph is cursed, not because the word curse starts with an aleph, but aleph means curse, because it means unity without diversity. It's the number one, aleph. By the way, if you look at the letter aleph, what's the What's the gematria of the word Aleph? Is 111. 180 and 30, which is 111. Because that's the number one, which is the one devoid of the bracha. Ve'ein be'echad ribui. One is the only number which has no ribui shu bracha. Ve'zeh she'oma, says the Maral, ki ha'olam nivra be'beis. You know why the world had to be created with a base? Mipnei shu loshon bracha. Because it's the base means bracha. And the world, as we'll see, is the concept of diversity. What is the world? The creation of the world is the creation of diversity. Had to be Hashem. If you know what Hashem is, God is unity. And there was nothing. The unity of Hashem is a unity which is beyond, is ineffable unity. By the way, there is a guy called Axel, one of the great mathematicians of the world. The great mathematician because he created something called set theory. You know what set theory is? This is the basic concept of mathematics, which means that the world can be, mathematics can be built in sets. Which means that technically, even the infinite could have an infinite set of infinities. That was his contribution. His theory, by the way, is called the theory of the Aleph. This is the mathematics. If you put on your computer, what's the theory mathematics of the Aleph? Aleph is the singularity of unity, which is the ineffable unity. And let me tell you how Axel came. He says, the famous story is that he goes to a hotel, and the hotel has an infinite number of rooms. So he goes to the hotel to check in. The guy asks him, do you have a reservation? He says, no. He says, I'm sorry, but we're booked. So, second, you have an infinite amount of rooms you booked? He says, because I'm sorry, we have an infinite amount of guests. So he says, yes, let me ask you something. What's the first room that you have is room one. What's the second room is room two. You know something? I can fit an infinite amount of rooms between room one and room two. So just I'll get you more rooms, and here you have the first guest of the new infinity, which is the set of infinities. But there is an ineffable infinity that you can't even divide, is inconceivable. That's the unity which is ineffable, which he calls the unity of the Aleph. By the way, he went crazy. He was one of the greatest mathematicians of all times, Axel. He actually went crazy. But he is, as we know in computer science, that he is extremely important to realize that infinities are functional. You could use infinities. Except for the infinity of the Aleph. The infinity of the Aleph is unusable. So what's a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Kodesh Baruch Hu is that Aleph which is ineffable. The world starts with diversity, with the base. There is a diversity because that infinity, not only the infinity doesn't belong here, the world starts in a set within infinity, but infinity doesn't get here. Because if there'll be infinity, there'll be no place for anything. So this is the beginning of diversity. Creation is the beginning of diversity. Is that single moment from infinity into diversity. That's why you should know something that we are going to see, and that's extremely important, that in numerology, the song that was created, the Rokeach quotes, the song that defines what is numerology in Kabbalistic thought, is the Echad Miyodea. Echad Miyodea, the little song that sings for children, is quoted by the Rokeach, and this is the meaning of numbers. What's Echad? Elokeinu shebashamayim ubaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. There is no Echad. So the world had to start with a base because there is no Aleph in this world, says the Maral. So look at the Maral. Shuv in Hashem Yisborach Hu sheyeh divar bebeis shuv eschol hatzarim v'yabroch v'lo be'alef. She'abriya hi abrocha ba'olam v'ichi divar be'alef. She'in ze brocha. Klar, rak siman arira. Aleph is devoid of brocha. Af ki she'os yos be'im ribu yoyser, even though the other letters have even more diversity, 3, 4, and 5, ha'beis was eschol hatzarim. Beis is the beginning of the ribu. Kashaya b'tchilas b'riyas olam eschol hatzarim. Because the beginning of the world is the beginning of the ribu. Now continue and skip it. Rav Avrom ibn Ezra, which was, by the way, Ibn Ezra was a great mathematician, right? He had told you that his books of mathematics is one of the first Jewish books translated into Latin and was published, actually, as one of the first incurables, right? He was a great mathematician. He was a very big rationalist, and he hated this medrash. And he said, he says this in his Akdoma to the Chumash. He says, there are droshes of the Medrash, which are good, V'yadrich b'derech tvune sanyorim, ki yesh ov she'ino ruye b'yom b'nog, b'alayla ruye b'vnish rav kihot. And then there is such a thing called a bet, that a bet is a blind animal. So the midrashim, which make people to become blind. B'drash olam nivra b'beis b'avur brocha, because this matters, that says the world was created with a beis because of the brocha. V'im dover kazeri bukom avulka v'ashisa bita, I mean, there's so many horrible words that start with a beis. You're right, you create the world because the word brocha starts with a beis. Why choose brocha? There are all the many words that start with a beis which are terrible. Ubitlu atachanot balidon, meaning it's just a waste of time. And the Ebenezer says, this kind of midrashim I'll never use in my midrash. This midrash of the Yosef Bekiva. Ubevadai harabel lavrom abrezer balidon divrei chachom enimonim. The Ebenezer didn't understand the midrash. Ki divreim hem emes bechochma vehu lo evin divrei chochma. This is Kabbalistic thought. And this is, the Ibn Ezra wasn't exposed to that. Ki dover sheish ha-bnei v'nevarezma, sheish ha-kudosh bohu latav, ki oisus kula bevada misham shen leto misham shen lera. For sure, he's right. Every word could be good and could be bad. Gam ki kmo shamarno, aval ha-beis lo bilosh bival kamar. He's not telling you that the beis has good words or bad words. The Ibn Ezra is right. There are good words and bad words. Ela sha-beis, he brocha beis, and the beis, it's not the brocha starts with the beis. Beis means brocha. Shehi aschola saribui kmoshis bayr. Okay? Okay. Now he continues. V'derech ze hachacham lashiva dvar hachamim menichu shalom bidivir hachom yada b'ze. And even as a criticizes hachomim, and the Maharal is very against the criticism of hachomim. V'ine ala shatak. Now why is the Aleph quiet? V'omer lakudush bohu. Lama ta shotek kilo adavo shimbo ribu yugarua. Because the Aleph was showing that as if not having ribu is bad. Because the base has ribu, and the aleph is the only one avoided. V'dover ze'ino, says Maral, unity is the highest form. Ki yesh la'alef maila mitzad ha'achdus. The aleph has a huge maila. You know what the maila of the aleph is? The unity. U'lekoach omar ha'kudosh boruch hu, ata echod. You represent unity, v'ani echod. And I represent unity. That's why the aleph is ineffable, right? You cannot pronounce the aleph. The hey you could pronounce. The only ineffable letter in the alphabet, okay, is the aleph. Why? Because the aleph represents unity, which is ineffable. It's unpronounceable in this world. V'atoira yachas. And the Torah is achas. We're going to soon learn that the Torah is achas. That's why the Torah, which brings the unity to the world, is the aleph. V'ze kivar amalati ha-Torah kumo seder oil basho olam echad. The same way the world, in essence, should be one, the Torah is one. V'fich ha-Torah hi achas. V'rosh tava ha-Torah she-achad na-shev ez borosho echad. That's it.
So which is better, the achtus or the...
Excellent. The world here is the base. What does that mean? The world of Ribbon. And this I'm going to tell you something, which is a yesoid goal. Because it's the world of the binary system. The world here was created not in one channel. There is no unity in this world. This world was created with two channels which are competing with each other. And that's the base. Because Hashem created the world of unity. God is one. Unity precludes anything else. The Rambam already says, unity relates to infinity, which means that there is nothing else. You can't be there, because if you're there, you're taking space. So there is no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a system which allowed for creatures to exist. That system at its source, it's binary. Mm-hmm. There are two forces at the source of this world, which is the base. These two channels are called in Chazal, one is called the channel of Chesed, and one is called the channel of Din.
Of what?
Din.
Din.
One is kindness and one is justice. Mm-hmm. But let me explain to you what they are. Posach Eliyahu, Eliyahu Hanavi has a psicha in the Zohar, in the Tikkun Zohar, that gives you the introduction to the Zohar, in the middle of the Zohar. And when he says, he thanks and he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, you created two channels, Had Orech V'Had Kotzer. You created a long channel and you created a short channel. The Chesed is something which is called the long channel. Is the concept of expansion, of potential. The one which is the energy, which is growing, which is unbounded, unlimited. That's Chesed. Chesed is kindness. What's the definition of Gmulus Chasodim? That you have to give to the good and to the bad. La Toivim V'La Roim. then you have something that's called orech. It's great. It's long. It's something that has no bounds. And then you have something which is called the limitations, the constraining. And that's midas hadin, that constrains, that limits. And these two, one expands and one contracts. Those are the two forces at the core of the universe. There is no such a thing in this universe of unity. If anybody tries to sell you one of a kind, you could know the guy is fooling you. Because there is no one of a kind in this world. The world is the creation of diversity. Diversity is these two. One is expanding, and the other one is contracting. Midas HaChesed expands, Midas HaDin contracts. The Ramban already alludes to it in the beginning of the Chumash. The word that says, V'horetz ha'isa tohu v'avohu. What is tohu, explains the Ramban. Tohu comes from the Hebrew word toi ha'reshoines. Toi is to regret. Tohu means that energy which is called regret. Why it's called regret? Says the Ramban, because it's the potential. And you, if you try to define, you regret. Because if you define as A, you regret because you see that you could define as B. It's the potential of the world. That's the chesed. That's the energy of the world. Tohu is the regret, which if you see this in today, as science has grown and developed, this is a natural thing. Everybody knows quantum science. Tells you that every world, everything, there's a million possibilities. That chain of possibilities, it's a concept of chesed, this kindness, this giving, the unbound energy. But that energy in this world, we can never get this energy. It's too much. It's like if you try to put a million volts into a 50-watt lamp, the lamp will burst, will break it. Then you have something which is called bohu. Bohu, says the Ramban, is the word ba. This is what it is. Tohu is the unbound potential, and bohu is the one that defines that this is what it is. It's the concept of defining, channeling, limiting, constraining. That's the channel of the. These are the two powers of the world. They were created. The Medrash alludes to that. It says the Medrash, the world was being created and was expanding to no limits until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to scream. And that's the name Shakai. Sh'omar Dai Loilomo. He says, stop it. By the way, Meleches HaMishkan, which is a parallel to Briyas HaOlam, what happens in Meleches HaMishkan? The people start bringing money, and there was too much money, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, stop it, enough. One is expanding, the other is contraction. This is the core of the world before the 10, before anything. The world was created with a base, because this is what the base represents. Tohu and bohu. I'm going to bring you today, this, by the way, in today's science, there is one guy, and I told you, is a must book that anybody, if you ever want to read one book in your life, probably this is it. It's a book called Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow. Did anybody read the book?
Part of it.
Okay, this is a must read. If you want to make life usable and make a lot of money and actually enjoy life and understand, you have to read this book. He is written by two Jews, again two, and look at how the irony of the world. Who was it written by? First of all, this was written by psychologists, and this is the only time ever that a psychologist won the Nobel Prize in economics. Ever. Know that there were a psychologist won the one prize in economics, Nobel Prize. And they are two Jews, okay, could you imagine? One of them is called Kahneman, he's still alive, and the other one is Tversky. Funny enough, right? Because Kahneman is this Litvish. He is a nephew, granddad. He's not religious. Those are non-religious guys. But he's of the Ponovich Rov, like the Litvish. And the other is Tversky from the Hasidim. Like these two. And you see that these two powers in the world is Hasidim and Misnagdim. One is like very much emotional, but you see. So he says, and by the way, this book changed thinking today. And by the way, we're going to have, he has a great student that, again, and he was going to be in the neighborhood. So when he is, I'll invite you guys to come. He's a good friend of mine. He's a good friend. He's a friend of mine. I got introduced by Reb Zalman, and he is a professor at Duke and MIT. He's probably the most well-known behavioral psychologist in the world. His TED Talk has probably 10 million viewers. His name is Dan Ariely. He's a student of Kahneman, right? This is something that can change your life. So Kahneman says in his book, let me tell you what the premise of the book is, that we, in our psyche, we have two forces within us. One is called the fast thinking, and the other one is called the slow thinking. The fast thinking is the creative, is the one that makes judgments, is the flowing. That's the chesed, right? That's the one that's growing, it's unbound, it's energy. It's something which is very much emotional, which is very much intuitive, and allows you to take risks, to be the creative mind. And that's always fast, because always thinks fast and has no boundaries. But then you have a second set of thinking, which is called the slow thinking, which is the one that's very rational, that you have the thing, you have desire to do something. And then you have a second thing that tells you, 1 second, do you have the money to do this? You think it's right? And it's very rational and puts boundaries. So 1 second, don't go this, this can go. So he says life is the juggle between the fast thinking and the slow thinking. And his whole idea is the most mistakes of people is they take the fast thinking and they forget about the slow thinking. That's why people take these like rash judgments, because this is a critique on Blink. Anybody who read Blink from Malcolm Gladwell? Right, that people make a rash judgment and they make the judgment and they, without anything. It's like people go ahead and they see something and they see a Rebbe doing but he goes ahead and gives some kind of a prediction and it works and you think the guy is God's gift to the world, but the soul he's thinking should be telling, 1 second, did you check how many people did you make mistakes with and how many people didn't work right? In other words, you have this fast thinking that we have this idea, this photo called emotional thinking, called the fast thinking, takes the latitude, because it expands. If this works, it assumes, it makes these rash decisions and it starts comparing one thing to the other. And this is the emotional, that's why the markets have, you see something falling and say, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. This is the kind of fast thinking. And there are two, the mind has to work with the two, which is the fast thinking and the slow thinking. Fast thinking is the expansion, is the chesed. The slow thinking is the one that limits, contracts. And they are, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And in Kabbalistic thought is the following idea. Hashem needed to create a vacated space to allow the world to exist. So there is such a thing called the energy, the life, which is the energy of the world. That's the channel of energy. And then there are vessels to channel it, to make sure that they are filters. It's called Oiris and Kalim. Oiris is Chesed, Kalim is Midas Adin. They constrain, they limit, they channel. These two forces are constantly battling against each other. And they are battling. We're going to see how they resolve that battle. The fast thinking and the slow thinking, and they are constantly battling. There is a great book that just came out. I'm giving this book this year. It's called it's not as good as the other one, but it's called Super Forecasting. Super Forecasting is the book that people are going to, you'll get here in a few years. It's a book that came out this year. I think it would be an unbelievable. It's also cognitive science. And he says, why some people, this is the guy, Super Forecasting is the guy that said, no, do you take the forecasters, all these guys who paid a lot of money. And if you take their forecasts and you take a monkey who's just throwing darts, statistically they're the same. I'm telling you, if you do enough times, the guys have, because they're right and wrong, by the end, the monkey is the same. So what's the purpose of having all these analysts and these economists? I remember Bankers Trust with an analyst, an economist, and the guy would like predict what would be the Fed would, like at that time with the trade deficit. And the guy would be completely wrong. I went to him and asked him, how would you ever get fired? I mean, if you're so wrong and you still keep your job, tell me, what can you do to be wrong? I thought the only way you could get fired if actually you get it right. Because if you get it right, you are not going to be, because it is the most inaccurate science. But Super Forecasting is this book who says there are people who are good forecasters. If you think in general forecasting is garbage, a waste of money, get a monkey. Okay, statistically it's the same. And people have proven back and again that it's the monkey. But there are people who are actually good forecasters and they will outdo the monkey. And he has the famous 10 rules of that. One of the basic rules is the mistake of people is that people think that there's only one way. If you think about it, let's say a stock, and sometimes you get stole to the stock, say this stock can only go up. In this world, there's no such a thing as a one way. You have to know that there is a second story to it. You have to put the two in clash and then make a decision. But if you can't find the second story and really work to understand the second side of it, and then to make a judgment between the two, you'll be a terrible forecaster. It's called, they take this into Oriental thinking, it's called the yin and the yang. This is a story, but this is the base of creation. And this is what, and you're going to see how this goes time and again. I'm going to show you again, Aleph base. How many Aleph base do we have? We have 22 letters. So you'll say you have one Aleph base. But I just told you, there is no such a thing as one Aleph base. So as you know, we have two Aleph base. Every Aleph base is made of 11 letters, because of the 10 and the 1. And we have two Aleph base. The two Aleph base you could write, usually it's called, Rashi says, it's called the Alban. The Aleph to Chof, the 11 letters is one Aleph base. And the base, and I'm sorry, and the Lamed through Taf, it's the second Aleph base. It's called the Alban, Aleph, Lamed, base, Mem. The two Aleph base. So it's a mistake to think we have one Aleph base. We have two Aleph bases with 11 letters. Yetzirah. How many Yetzirah do we have?
Two.
We have two Yetzirah. Which are the two Yetzirah?
Yetzirah.
No. Yetzirah itself. I told you, there's no one Yetzirah. You don't have one of a kind of anything. If anybody tells one of a kind, if somebody says the theory of everything doesn't exist, you have relativity and you have quantum, two competing strategies. So the strive to create a unified theory doesn't exist in this world. We're going to soon see how that works. But doesn't. So we have two Yetzirahs.
Lust?
Yes, exactly right. It's not greed, it's called violence. Greed and violence are the same. But lust and greed come to the same because you want to get it. And I'm going to show you how there are two Yetzirahs. And if you see in Sefer Mishlei, the Sefer Mishlei always represents the Yetzirah. One of them is a thief, and the other one is a prostitute. The Zoina and the Ganav. One, the Ganav is the one who is the criminal, who is the murderer. He's the one who applies the violence. That's Midas Adin. You limit others that you're doing. And the other one is lust that you take for yourself. You want to grow into. That's the one. Those are the two Yetzirahs. So you have two Yetzirahs. Torah. How many Torahs do we have? A Torah Shebe'al Pe and Torah Shebe'al. That's why they have to be two Torahs. Because one is the one that limits, is Torah Shebe'al Pe, and one that expands, is Torah Shebe'al Pe. You take a Torah Shebichzav, a little Sefer Torah, which is very constraining, do this, don't do that. That's why the Christians look at the Torah and say, God, this God is like trying to put people in some kind of a bind. They're binding people from doing nothing. And that's Torah Shebichzav. Torah Shebe'al Peh is expanding. Torah Shebichzav, always, there's so many issues, but that's the idea. Torah Shebichzav constrains other one. And this, you have this duality, is a duality. That's why the Maral always says the word. Very interesting, if you read the numbers, the number Echad is in the singular, the number Shloisha, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, everything is in the singular. There is only one numeral, which is always in the plural.
Shnei.
The word Shnei. Because those two forces are irreconcilable. By the way, Rabbi Isai, we're going to see, well, we're going to have to finish because we're late, but we have to start late, so we have like 5 minutes. But this is the struggle that you have, right? You have these forces. Lemosho, shatness. Why can't you have shatness? It's always, you see, the idea is because those are the two forces that you can't put them together. You have to reconcile thesis and antithesis. You need something called synthesis, which you're going to learn what it is. But those two together, they're clashable. The ultimate example is basar b'chalav. Right? What's chalav? What's milk? Milk is the beginning of life. That's why it's white, which is chesed. Chesed is giving. What is meat? Is the end of life. You have to kill a piece of flesh. Doesn't matter what it is. To die, right? So one is taking it away, the other one is giving. They cannot be together. So that's why milk and meat cannot be together. That's the idea of why in Hebrew you have such a thing called gematria. Gematria is there is a numerical value to letters. Because the numbers, as you'll see, they are the energy. They are the chesed. They are unbound energy. Because mathematics is a typical example, right? You know that there's a famous question. And by the way, the philosophy of mathematics, the biggest people are, it's Hebrew University, has the biggest school of the philosophy of mathematics. And the philosophy of mathematics, the basic question in philosophy of mathematics is the following. Is mathematics a primary or a derivative language? Mm-hmm. You see, mathematics explains the universe. Is it that the word universe is the universe, and we use mathematics to explain the world? Is some language of the human brain, that's how the human brain is able to capture reality. And the language which is the richest language that the brain created to capture reality is called mathematics. Or is the opposite, that the word speaks mathematics. It's a primary world of the universe. That's the language of the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's built, because if you look at it, all the rules that we have, right? All the laws of the universe, those are mathematical laws, laws that you could represent mathematically. In Jewish thought, we believe the latter. The world speaks mathematically. The mathematically is the energy of the world. That's why all of the laws, all the natural laws are mathematical. You could express them mathematically. That's why you could, let's say, as an example, right? Look at a guy like Einstein. Einstein is a guy who, through his own mathematics, was able to come up with the most important theories of the universe. And then they tested it and they found it. So it is, because the world speaks mathematically. Mathematics is the energy of the world. It's unchanneled. That's the chesed. That's the unbelievable potential, right? The mathematics of the world. How you channel it is the words. That's how you define things. This is this energy turns into this. So the letters are the kelim, are the ones which limit, define, and numbers is what animates it. That's why words that have the same numerical value, they're going to share the energy together. They have a shared energy. Okay, so that's important to know, that that's why every single thing is always this duality. But this duality in itself will always clash. And that clash is irreconcilable, because once expanding, the other one is contracting. And we're going to see that that's why Kain and Hevel. Steht in Chazal already. What was Kain? What did Kain do? Kain was the one who brought plants. He was a farmer. Chazal say, what Rashi quotes, what plant did he bring as a korban? Pishtan, flax. Mm-hmm. Flax, he brought flax. Makes no sense. And what was Hevel? Hevel was a shepherd. Chazal say the flax is keneged the tzemer. That's what the Medrash says, right? One is tzemer. Mm-hmm. And the other one is pishtim, that's kilaim. Pishtim, if you look flax, each one is individual. There is an individuality, it's very separate. They go, Chazal say, bad, michne say, bad, ilbash al psori. Chazal say, what's bad? The word bad, Chazal say, is pishtim. Because pishtim is goidel bad bevad. It's like flax are very separate. Wool is entangled in entanglement. Because that's one is chesed. Chesed, that is entangled, is potential, is this like multitude of things all put together. That is the tzon, that mm-hmm. is hevel. Kain is midas adin. Mm-hmm. Midas adin and midas chesed. They can't leave, they go in the clash.
Just in today's talk, we talked about the arot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for Adam and Hevel, according to Rashi, one understanding is semer and one understanding is pishtan.
Right.
It is literally today's
talk. It's unbelievable. So you see this. You see, you're going to see how this is the core of Chazal. And this is life. You see that in life you're going to soon see that the key of the world is something called the Das, which is the negotiation between these two. But this is the clash. This is Chamor and the Shor. Shor lo tachlosh b'shor v'chamor. The Maral always says the Shor is the animal, which is very strong. And he defines, because that's why oxen were used for what? For plowing. Because plowing, you take the earth, which is undefined, and you create this path. So the ox represents midas adin. Chamor is midas chesed. Midas chesed, potential means that he can carry anything, and he's very passive, right? He's undefined. He could carry anything, and you'd be load. One is a load, one defines. They cannot be together, right? And we're going to see. So this is the duality of the world. And this is how the world was created. And the reason, we're going to see why the world was created in such a way. And we're going to see that this chesed and din, there is not only there is a duality, we're going to see that there is a taxonomy, there is a pecking order of these two. And this is what we're going to see in the next class, Hashem, the order of these two, how these two fit together. And we're going to see what is the tachlis of this world, which is mashgich in ampin pampin, which is the reconciliation between the two powers. And reconciling this is when you bring spiritual energy to the world, and that's the ultimate energy. By the way, this is always the, if you look at Einstein, what was it trying to achieve? The unified theory, which is combining quantum and relativity. Mm-hmm. And this combination between quantum and relativity is the key. And let me just finish in one thing. What the Maral says, the Maral always says, Hamokum ve'azman in anechalem, space and time, one thing. So the theory that you hear from relativity, from my sense, Maral says in Kabbalistic terms, why? Because space is chesed. It's not always the potential. Time is the one that you create a system, the one goes after the other. The concept of Zman is Zimun, one relates to the other. It's a process of transformation. There is a pecking order that A leads to B. That's Midas Adin. Midas HaChesed is something called space. Midas Adin is something called time. That's why they are the same, and they work with each other. And that's the duality of the world, the space and time, Tohu and Bohu. And we're going to see that this is the concept of day and night. The concept of day is chesed, that you could see there is this energy, and night is something that you can't see, that there is darkness, there is limitations, you get stuck. Those two is the chesed and din, and this is throughout these two energies in the world is always like this. And this, we're going to see that this is the cradle of this world, and this is the secret of this world. That's why the world was created with a base, which is the beginning of this rebuy. And we're going to see in the next class why is that so, and what is the pecking order, meaning are the two of them equal, or is one primary and the other on derivative? And then the third class will be Hashem, how you reconcile the two to create the ultimate unity and the energy, which is the center.